Thank you so much, Christy. We appreciate that. And of course, if you haven't figured that out yet, we're on our anniversary weekend here at Watermark. Had a wonderful banquet last night that we feasted together and celebrated and reminisced a little bit. The plaque that that Todd was speaking about earlier is located in this corner of the room here on that carved wooden image. You might be able to go back and have a look at that after service today. But we just had a great time together last evening celebrating, and we'd love to extend that time as well this morning after we dismiss in this first service. If you've been with us for a little while or want to look back a little bit, there is a video that we shared last night that we're going to put on after the service is dismissed. If you want to hang around, you can have a look at those photos and reminisce a little bit. Some of them are pretty hilarious. So you can make fun of a few of us that are in those photos. Even us, we've been here almost 14 years, Dawn and I. So it has been a little bit of a journey. Of course, this church was planted by those six couples, the lead couple being Jeff and Christy Steppy. And we've just been able to maintain a wonderful relationship with them even after they moved on. And we've invited them back a few times, but this seemed especially appropriate. And we appreciate Christy sharing the song with us this morning. And I'd like to introduce Jeff again to you this morning. We're going to tag team a little bit in our message time. Jeff?
Good morning. 20 years. Wow, where does it go? I was only 15 when we planted the church, so it's been okay. It's been pretty good. Chrissy was 16. We're doing well. It was August 2005, and Chrissy and I, with our just over one-year-old son, landed in Bellefonte. It was more like we crash-landed. We have some folks at our church now. We're at Cogan Station, just north of Williamsport, and we have some people there who grew up in Bellefonte, and they say, you know, the joke is people who grew up in Bellefonte have one leg shorter than the other because of walking the hills their entire life. Well, it is true. We found a townhouse, 702 Valentine Street. So if you go up past the, used to be the old county offices, way at the end, I was driving a 24-foot U-Haul with a auto transport on the back with my father-in-law, and Chrissy and my mother-in-law and our son Josiah were in the van. And they got to the townhouse fine, but I had this huge U-Haul, and so we went up Holmes Street and down Valentine, like, there's no way we're going to get up there. I need to drop this car off somewhere. And so we went back down Walnut Street, down Bud Alley. Do you know where that is? And we got to the end, and we went down the little bank, and I went to turn back up Holmes Street, and the truck went, and it went, and the auto transport got stuck on the alley, and it picked the truck up off the road. And so the rear wheel tires on the passenger side were off the road on Holmes Street, and we were blocking traffic. Nobody could get to the office building. So we had to call a tow truck, and they came and got us off. My father-in-law said, if that truck tipped over, I was walking. So we got back up, and we tried to get up into the driveway. We couldn't pull in because the hitch on the truck hit Valentine Street, and we couldn't back in because the hitch hit the driveway. So we had to park on Valentine Street, and some of you were there to unload. We had to push everything up the driveway. And it was a townhouse, so it's the garage, the first floor, and the second floor, so hauling furniture up three flights of stairs. And so there we were, landed in Bellefonte. Next morning, we are unpacking and doing some things, and I'm in the garage area, and I went to pull a nail out, and the hammer let go quickly and hit my glasses and broke my glass and gouged my face. And I'm like, this doesn't seem like it's very good. I felt blood, so I went, and I looked, and I said to Christy, I said, we need to go to the emergency room. She's like, oh, you're kidding. I'm like, no, look. And so she's like, oh, no. We were just in town for one day, and we had no idea where the hospital was. So we called 911, and we said, this isn't really an emergency, but we don't know where the hospital is. And so I'm in the bathroom in the meantime, and I'm looking. I can see my bone through my cheek, and I start getting a little weary, and Christy's yelling at my mother-in-law, grab him, he's going down, and I surely did. I went down, I was on the floor. We went to the hospital and got stitched up, and the guy gave me a tetanus shot, and I said, you know, the last time I had a tetanus shot, I had a reaction. He's like, no, you'll be fine. That was Saturday. Sunday, we went to church at Howard, and I wasn't fine. I started like flu-like symptoms and achy, you know how that is. I'm sitting in church and got worse as the day went on, and took Chrissy's mom and dad to the bus station in State College and got home. Chrissy's in the rocking chair with our little Josiah, and we just cried. Like, why does it have to be so hard? And Josiah had an ear infection. And he was crying, and we're crying. We didn't have an air conditioner yet. It was August. And we're like, why does it have to be so hard? And life is hard, though, isn't it? We had no illusions about that. And we really wanted to plan a church that allowed hurting people to find Jesus. In fact, in our material that we put together to introduce people to the church and the discovering class, a little paragraph says, we value genuine relationships not only with God, but with people. Life is rarely neat and orderly. There's ups and downs and in-betweens that even followers of Jesus encounter. And we provide a safe place where hurting people who feel far from God can experience His grace within a loving community. We're simply real people asking with a real God, walking with Him in the nitty-gritty of ordinary living. And I hope that's been your experience as you've been part of this wonderful work that God has done. You have challenges in life and you have difficulties in life, but this is a place where you can find Jesus in the reality of life, because life is hard, isn't it? It is tough, but we have this great and awesome God, and you have a wonderful community of people. So Monday morning, we began the hard work of planning and planting. The watermark name is Deliberate. Of course, there's the big spring, and Belfont means beautiful fountain. But if you also think about a watermark on a piece of paper, you hold it up, and it's got that thing you can see through the light, and it means that it's authentic. And we wanted people's lives, when they're held up to Jesus, to be authentic, to be transparent. You've had some floods in Belfont through the years, and a flood changes a community, and there's a high water mark. There's probably marks around town where it says in 1994, this is how high the water got. And so we wanted to be that place, not destructive like a flood, but a place that made a change in the community, made a difference in the community. And you are still doing that and making a difference in the community. So we thought, how is this going to happen? You've already mentioned that Christy and I and Bob and Marie Fishburne and Beth and Ernie DeBiro, we sat around our kitchen table many a time just praying and planning, wondered how this is going to work. And later on, God drew people to our team. Brian and Paul are here today, and Andy and Betsy Roberts and Kevin and Andrea Harmon. And we had this team that started to be put together. But your theme verse for today is 2 Corinthians 9:8. And it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." Amen. Did you see all the alls in there? All grace, all sufficient, all things, all times, abound in every good work. God did it, amen? He is indeed sufficient. March 26, 2006, 201 people came to our opening Sunday, and people continue to come, and you are here, and you continue to come. And so today we celebrate what God has done and is doing and will do through you. Tim mentioned we have maintained a good relationship with you all and with Don and Tim. We love them. We know you love them too. And it's been great to hear that all the great things that God is doing in this place. You see, Paul in 1 Corinthians actually talks about this kind of experience of planting and of this agricultural metaphor. And when I think about Watermark, I think about this passage as we were getting ready to come today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 5, Paul says this: "What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants to whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but," what's that next phrase? "God gave the growth." You need to hang on to that. "So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who," what? "Gives the growth. And so he who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You," that's you, the church, "are God's field. You are God's building." We are the church. We are the building, just meeting in this building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is what? Jesus Christ. And that's what we try to do, lay a foundation of Jesus. We are just fellow servants. In fact, I don't know, Tim, if I like Paul at this point, he said, you and I are nothing. Which is true. We're really nothing in the big scheme of things. We're just vessels that God uses. And God uses some to plant, and God uses some to water. Everybody receives appropriate wages. Paul or Apollos was nothing special. It was God who gave the growth. And we give him the glory this morning. Amen. He is the one who does this. We were sitting around, the six of us, and we're like, this cannot happen without God. We don't know what we are going to do. Monday morning, we got up, and I was feeling a little better, and like, I don't know what to do. I have no place to go. We didn't know anyone in town here. The closest ones were Beth and Ernie. We had no office, no nothing, and yet we were just faithfully doing what God had called us to do. I mentioned last night we were doing a Bible study through Acts recently, and there's a strange situation in the book of Acts chapter 12. It says, on an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took his seat upon the throne, and delivered an oration to them. And the people were shouting, the voice of God, not of man. Immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory. And he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. But the word of God increased and multiplied. Don't become worm food. Give the glory to God. He's the one who gets the glory. God must always get the glory for his church. And when we take the glory upon ourselves or we think that we have done something special, he doesn't get the glory. Paul said he laid the foundation in verse 10 and then defines the foundation as Christ. The legal name of Watermark is Watermark Christ's Church at Belfont. It's a possessive. It belongs to him. This church is his church. We try to center it on Jesus. Paul also said that you are God's field. You are God's building. Through the years of meeting at the middle school, we are reminded that the church is people. Someone once said one time that if I walked into church, the building would fall down. I said, don't worry about it. It's a school. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. And it was. People are what is important. Think about the many people this church has impacted over the years. And through the years of seeing people come to Jesus, I remember those baptisms at the DeBiro's pool. We went to the Howard Church one Sunday and had many baptisms over there. We walked with people through death and through grief, through the funerals or for joys of weddings, listening as people dealt with health and relational problems, teaching and praying and supporting one another and building a true community of people. And so today we celebrate the story of Watermark because Watermark is really the story of people. You are God's field. You are God's building. People who were burnt out from church came and they found a church home. People from different backgrounds came and they found common grace in Jesus. You know, 2 Corinthians 9:8, it said, God is able to make all grace abound to you. You see, we were 20 years younger, but we were also 20 years dumber. Would do a whole lot of things differently, would make a lot of different decisions. But I bet you can say the same thing in your life, can't you? Just look over the last 20 years of your life and you say, man, I would have made a whole lot of different decisions. See, the only way you get wise is with time. You can't be young and wise. You can only be old and wise. And right there, Paul said, God is able to make all grace abound to you. Do you believe that? Not just some, not just a little bit, but all grace abounds to you. Jesus provides the grace you need for whatever you have done. And we all live with those places of shame and of regret and the would've, could've, and should've. But it's God's grace who makes, it's his grace that abounds to you. And we wanted to make sure people heard about grace when they came to Watermark. We wanted to make sure that people heard about a God who loved them, a Jesus who loves you, not a stuffy, legalistic kind of faith, but a faith of fun, where joy-filled hearts, where they found true freedom. And that's what this church is. I know that's what this church means to you. And so we are so excited to be able to celebrate with you today. You see, in this agricultural metaphor of Paul, the planting and the watering, there are seasons. There's a season to plant and a season to grow and a season to harvest. And we had a season. We are so thankful for that season. Our season came to an end, and we decided to move our family. We wanted our kids to grow up and experience a diverse, multicultural environment. And that shaped the people that they are today. It's also shaped us. We are profoundly different people now than when we were here before. But that's all God asks of all of us, isn't it? Don't stay the same. Don't be stuck. Keep moving and growing, and God's grace abounds to you. You see, in all the seasons of life, our choices always need to be the same, to build on the foundation of Christ. Paul says to do every good work, and regardless of your circumstances, if you want to give, you can give. And if you don't believe that's true, you talk to Beth and Ernie, and I know Bob and Maria around, or Christy and I. If you are faithful and you want to do the thing, it doesn't mean you'll do it perfectly. It doesn't mean you won't make mistakes. It doesn't mean that you won't make flub-ups. But you know what it means? God's grace abounds. Amen. And I'm so thankful for God's grace in every season of life that happens. Well, Christy and I moved. And 9 months later, Tim and Dawn moved in, almost like a new baby was born. And I know you are blessed to have Tim and Dawn. And we appreciate Tim and the times we get to spend together. And you are in good hands for building on a foundation for the next 20 years.
Appreciate that. And in true form, Jeff left me 2 minutes to fit 15 minutes into. So this could be the longest 2 minutes of your life. No, I'm just joking. So in 2012, when Jeff and Christy and their family decided to move on in the autumn of 2012, I wanted you to know that this is where we were living, if you can show that image, Noah. This is where we were living. We had no thought of living here in 2012. This is beautiful Newcastle, Australia, where we were at. Who would want to leave that and come to the mountains of central Pennsylvania and deal with the weather and everything here? But by the time we got into 2013, just a few minutes later, we had already felt in January of that year that God was leading us to finish our time as foreign missionaries and to return to the States and take a located ministry here. And as it turns out, he led us to Watermark in some pretty miraculous ways that I don't have time to share with you here specifically. I'd love to have those conversations with you. But from both ends, both from the those who were here at the time and from our side in Australia, God did some amazing things to put that together. You know, in that fall of 2012, Watermark was facing the winter season. You were facing a season of uncertainty as you began a new search for a new pastor. And you wonder what would possess somebody to leave, you know, a beautiful spot. But, you know, God's calling, God's leading, God's prompting is stronger than anything, isn't it? It should be in our lives. And we were just discovering that in that early 2013, and he led us here, and God was faithful. We sold our house that March. We moved to Altoona in April. We began our work at Watermark on Sunday, May 5th, 2013. And by June, we moved into our Bellefonte home, and by July, I had major back surgery that laid me up for 6 months. So it was another hard start in a different way, but God was faithful. We had, time to settle in together, to during those early years together, to kind of recover. As you can probably imagine, not everybody wants to hang around once the pastor leaves, no matter what he says as he leaves. And so we incurred some losses of attendance and things like that. And we were recovering and building something together for several months and then years. And we watched God slowly move us towards stability and growth. And God was faithful. And we had no idea on Sunday, March 15th, 2020, that would be the last time we worshiped together in the middle school auditorium. Some of you remember that Sunday. We had no idea. We weren't ever going to be in there again when we left that day and packed our things away. But God was faithful even in that. Like so many churches, we went to online for a while until we found some space in Lambert Hall. Some of you remember when we were in Lambert Hall, and there was only about 80 of us there gathering together because we hadn't recovered. And even though those times are hard, the numbers were low, God was still faithful in that, wasn't he? And when we inquired about meeting in the parking lot of this property over on Zion Road for Easter services, the owner approached us to purchase the building. A church of 80, buying a $1 million building, needing $1 million worth of renovations in the middle of a pandemic. But God was faithful in that. So by the time we moved into our newly renovated building, our attendance had grown back to about 100. Within a year, we moved to a couple of services with about 180. A year later, we were over 200, then 280, then over 300. And God was faithful through it all, wasn't he? You know, our theme verse for this year that Jeff shared a little earlier comes from Paul's words to the church at Corinth. And you may remember that he was taking a little collection there for the church in Jerusalem who were facing poverty and famine. And Paul encourages the church to be generous, to be cheerful even about their giving. But then come the words in verse 8. We're going to put it up there again. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiently in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. All of those things. I've never read so many absolutes. I think it's the most condensed passage in all of Scripture. With the most absolutes, there is no question that God is the source of all good things. Amen? And there's no question that there is one purpose for the good things that God gives. And this is how I want us to end today. There is one purpose in all of the good things that God gives. And that is to give it away. To give it away. And We're talking about more than just buildings, aren't we? We're talking certainly about our finances, but we're talking about more than that. Think about every moment of your life. The moments that you recognize that God has actually done something and provided you something. It's not just our funds. It's not just our possessions. For me, it's forgiveness. If God provides me forgiveness, doesn't he intend me to give forgiveness away? And if God moves in my life and provides me with healing that I thought would never come, doesn't he require me to give that healing away to other people? If God provides me restoration in relationship, doesn't he expect me to go about restoring relationships? Any good thing, all good things that God has ever given me in my life, he gives to me so that I can, in his name, give it away. Bless others. Share what I have in the name of Jesus to ensure that the good news of a rich relationship with Jesus pours out onto everybody in my life. Verse 10 of that passage says, "He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness." It's clear that Paul's moved beyond just talking about material things. He's not talking about that anymore. He's talking about spiritual impact. God will both supply and multiply our seed for a purpose, our righteousness. Remember, when we see the word righteousness, we're not talking about perfection in Scripture. We're talking about producing good fruit for the Lord. Verse 11 says, "You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God." There are those absolutes again. Enriched in every way, be generous in every way. Why? To produce thanksgiving to God. By whom? By those who are blessed because God's working through us. By those people that I find to forgive and provide healing. Restore relationship. God doesn't give me what I have in this life so that my life can be all about me. God gives me what I have in this life so that my life can be all about Him. And God tells me that my life can be all about Him when I make it all about others in His name. What can I give God that He doesn't already have? But when I make my life about giving to other people, serving other people, loving other people, and I do it all in Jesus' name, then I'm thanking God the way He asked me to thank Him for what He's given. You know, we just wrapped up a fundraising effort to equip our ministry bay called Pay It Forward. We've used that same campaign. We used it back in 2021 when we moved into the building. And back then, we didn't even know where we were going to start. The only thing we knew was that we needed to have the very chairs that you are sitting on. And it was going to cost us $50 a chair, and we needed about 300. Now remember, we had 80 people. So we very well could have, at the end of that campaign, wound up with 80 chairs. Then you'd be sitting on top of each other right now. But instead of focusing on the chairs that we would need, we really wanted to shift the focus to the others who would eventually sit in those chairs, even though there was only 80 of us. We didn't want it to be getting the perfect soft chair for our behinds. First time I've used that in a message before. We wanted to provide a way for another 220 people to experience a relationship with Jesus. That's why we called that Pay It Forward. Paying it forward by donating not only funds for your chair, but for somebody you're going to invite. Someone you're going to say, "I want to share Jesus with them. I want them to experience true, authentic community together with us." We prayed for them, and we donated a chair for them. And today we serve well over 300 people at Watermark, and that's why we have two services. We're hoping one day to go to three. I know for some of you, you go, "Oh, I quit if you ever do that." No, we're gonna get there one day. We've witnessed dozens of baptisms. We've seen families rededicated to the Lord. We've seen real discipleship growth. We've seen children's ministries that are bursting at the seams. But will we pay it forward again for the next 300, for the next 20 years? Will we still live by faith in the one who has proved over and over again that He is still faithful? Paul ends his paragraph with this, verse 15. "Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift." It's that inexpressible gift of His only Son, Jesus Christ, that makes all of this mean something. I can't wait to see what God will do with Watermark for the next 20 years. And we pray that it will be, of course, for His glory and His glory alone. I'm going to ask you to do something we don't normally do. Will you stand with me? Because we're going to say our last prayer together. Would you stand just now? We'll have it on the screen. From Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Let's close in this prayer together today. Will you say it with me? Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. Let's pray together and ask the worship team to come up. Father, we are just so incredibly thankful, of course. But Father, we pray that you would help us to reveal to us, each one of us, how we can pray for the next 20 years, pray for the next 20 opportunities, pray for the next 20 people that need to hear the news of Jesus, that need to have a relationship, that need to have healing, that need to have hope in the middle of despair. Father, each of us has our own story, our own experience, and some of them are painful and difficult, but yet we also have stories of salvation and deliverance and healing from you. And Father, you give us those things as gifts free by your grace, but you also don't intend us to keep them to ourselves. So Father, we pray that you would use that within us, turn it, and help us to bless others with forgiveness and healing and support, and by introducing them to a relationship with Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.